Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Kevin Kumasi. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana, including Radio Max Takoradi, Volta Premier Hall, KTU Radio Koforidua, Ganga FM Jerapa. We're also live on X Spaces Facebook live stream and My Joy Online Interactive app. The Midday News is sponsored by Petrosol, your clean fuel in full quantity. Petrosol, always a delightful experience. Also brought to you by Geoplus Ghana Limited, producers of quality PVC and HDPE pipes, and Water Tank, the only water storage tank with a level indicator. Wadjura Plus goes, water flows. Coming up, lawyers for the board of the Electricity Company of Ghana reject an almost 6 million cedi fine imposed on them by the PURC as they describe the commission's actions as unlawful, null and void, and without jurisdiction.
We want to believe that the men and women on the board of EC, men and women of integrity, who abide by the laws of the land. So we want to believe that they will comply. However, if there's any reason for which maybe they might not be able to comply and they feel it's a grievance that they want to address, they know the process to take.
The management of ECG also insists the PURC has no such right to issue fines. We have details of that. Also, government has commenced negotiations with private entities to take over bill calculation and debt collection for the Electricity Company of Ghana amidst the energy crisis.
And these are conversations that we're having in respect of the privatization or some private sector participation in the billing and collection. Discussions are far advanced.
Railway Minister blames truck drivers' recklessness for train accident, insisting all necessary safety measures were implemented before the test ride.
They do the initial check by putting the maintenance vehicle, 30 minutes ahead of the train. That was done and give an indication that the line was free. Only for some unscrupulous person to drive and park his vehicle there.
Also, government assures transparency and diligence as it opens the way for the private sector to take over the Saglemi housing project. A sector minister discloses more than $100 million is required to make the place habitable.
In consonance with the proactive disclosure clauses of the Right to Information Act, we will publish, one, all the bids that were received. We'll publish the evaluation report of the independent evaluation panel.
Right.
We will publish the decision memo.
And also beware of the floods as the rain set in, as government says it is helpless in fixing the perennial problem.
I'm sorry to break your heart, but we're already behind schedule on the flood control program because of resource constraints that we have had. Even what we are doing is just about 2% of what we should be doing in the Greater Accra.
We have sports.
Coach Prosper Nate Ogum vows to turn around Asante Kotoko's performance ahead of the crucial encounter against league leader Samatex.
And later, residents of Nungwa excited about the release of Nayomo Ayemwade from protective custody, saying their customs and traditions must be respected at all times. We'll take you there live. And more with me, Mamiesi Nyamiche Thompson. Please stay with us. This afternoon, lawyer for the board members of the Electricity Company of Ghana has rejected an almost 6 million cedi fine imposed on them by the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission, describing the directive as unlawful, null and void, and without jurisdiction. PURC imposed the fine on ECG board members who served between January 1 and March 18, 2024. The fine, totaling 5,868,000 Ghana cedis, is a consequence of the board's violation of Regulation 39 of LI 2413, which mandates notifying consumers beforehand of any power interruptions. But lawyer for the board members implicated is fighting back. More on him shortly. First, listen to PURC's justification, and here's Head of Research and Public Affairs of the PURC, Dr. Eric Obute.
If PURC decides to impose this charge on the company, ECG will be the one to just pay. Now, if ECG pays, it comes down to the revenues that they collected from you and I as ratepayers, and they'll use that same amount to pay back. That would have detrimental effect for the operations or the service that they provide the consumer. In the interest of the public, the board thought it wise that it would be in the interest of the public to make the board of directors accountable.
The board members have up to 30th May 2024 to make this payment. What happens if they do not comply with this regulatory order?
We want to believe that the men and women on the board of ECG are very respectable and men and women of integrity who abide by the laws of the land. So we want to believe that they will comply. However, if there's any reason for which maybe they might not be able to comply and they feel it's a grievance that they want to address, they know the process to take and that take so as their grievances could be addressed. But for now, we want to believe that the members of the board of ECG would comply with whatever it is that the commission has come up with.
And you heard the head of research and public affairs of the PURC, Dr. Eric Obote. But there's a reaction from the members implicated by the PURC. My colleague Elton Brobe has details and joins me in studio. Elton, why is the lawyer rejecting the PURC's directive?
So there's a tall list of explanation that has been provided. First, the lawyer, Yabuafo Ajiman, who is the president of the Ghana Bar Association, writing on behalf of the board of the ECG, responds to the concerns. First, allocation of tariff revenue collected, notification and publication of planned outages, and then power authority of the commission to impose regulatory charges. According to the lawyer for the board, it is patently clear that under the said provision, the commission can only impose a regulatory charge on a public utility. The commission, according to them, does not have the power or authority to purport to impose any regulatory charge on officers of public utility. The commission, in purporting to impose a said regulatory charge on the board members of ECG, clearly exceeded their jurisdiction, as is not within their power or authority to do so. It goes on to say that it must be stated that ECG, as a corporate body, as a legal personality that is distant from its board members. This is very foundation of company law. The officers of the company cannot be held liable for the acts of the company. Lifting the veil of incorporation to go after the officers of the company can only be done in exceptional cases and can only be done by a court of competent jurisdiction. The commission's lack of jurisdiction, power, or authority to lift the veil of incorporation in an instant matter to purport to impose regulatory charge personally on the board members of ECG is strengthened by the provisions of Section 3842 of the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission. And it goes on to say that, as stated above, and providing other instruments to back their point, board members of ECG are not responsible for the day-to-day administration of ECG, and therefore are not principal officers within the entailment of Act 588 to be able to be held liable for a default on a part of the public utility ECG. The commission order, according to the lawyer, imposing regulatory charge on the members of the board is unlawful, null and void, as same as without jurisdiction. By this order, the commission has unlawfully clothed itself with the power of the High Court and imposed a sentence on the board members without having been given the opportunity to be heard, which amounts to breach of the rules of natural justice. Our client, therefore, reject the content of the regulatory order relative to any personal liability on their part. We pray that the commission take notice of the content of this letter and act accordingly. And this is signed by Yao Champombwa, for solicitor for members of the board of the Electricity Company of Ghana between the period 1st of August 2023 to 18th March 2024.
Right. So will the members pay any money at all?
Yeah, clearly they will not pay, because ECG lacks the jurisdiction to demand such payments.
But I'm sure that there's a response from the ECG to PURC.
So this is also a management response from ECG to PURC. And they've also attempted to address certain key issues that PURC highlighted. First is the breach of natural justice. According to ECG, the orders contained in the decision of PURC being in the form of sanction against ECG and the board of directors, the commission ought to have given ECG a fair hearing on the alleged breaches of the Public Utility Regulatory Commission. According to them, this was not done. There's also another issue of breach of cash waterfall mechanism, and they've attempted to explain it, giving reasons why they were unable to pay certain monies to the mechanism. Failure to submit monthly bank payment, and of course, the elephant in the room, notification of publication of planned outages. According to the ECG, more worrying is the fact that PURC proceeds so moto to impose sanction per alleged incident of infraction rather than dealing with the incident as a composite matter. This approach obviously provides PURC the avenue to exact outrageous sums against ECG, which is clearly at odds with the administrative body's constitutional duty to be reasonable. This unreasonableness, according to ECG, is further manifested when one considered how self-serving it is for the PURC to wait and seek to obtain funds for itself under the guise of regulatory charge based on the number of incidents. Further proof, according to ECG, of the unreasonableness of PURC is expressed in its order directed at the board of directors of ECG to pay the said regulatory charge on ECG's behalf. This decision is neither grounded on the fact that the commission found the board of directors culpable or complicit of any wrongdoing, but simply in its opinion that to sanction ECG would have implication on consumers. Once again, this power exercised by the PURC is without any legal basis, since the PURC mandate is restricted to only regulating public utilities and not individual directors of these public utilities. And they conclude, by saying that please note that this request, they say that following, we strongly advise the commission to immediately withdraw the orders dated 15 April. Director of the ECG and its board of directors, as same is null and void. It's further advised that ECG should be given the opportunity to be heard on any charges of alleged breaches of its duties and obligations following the submission of its report pursuant to PRC order dated 18th March 2024. This is signed by Samuel Dubig Mahama, Managing Director of the ECG.
Thank you so much, Elton Brobe, with details of responses from ECG and their lawyers. Now, government has commenced negotiations with private entities to take over bill calculation and debt collection for the Electricity Company of Ghana amidst the energy crisis. This move comes as authorities strive to prevent the collapse of the energy sector and maintain the cash flow system, given that over 30% of energy losses are attributed to non-collection of debts and power theft. Michael Ashali has more from our thought leadership discussion on guaranteeing reliable power supply.
All eight guests unanimously agree that the primary challenges contributing to the country's unstable energy situation were revenue mobilization and difficulties in procuring and distributing fuel efficiently.
Problem. I don't think we'll be very prudent with the financing of ECG.
Okay.
We are managing ECG financing like a chop-bar type of accounting.
But the overarching challenge there is finance.
Even the former Deputy Energy Minister, Andrew Ejapomesa, agrees with them.
And we have some challenges with fuel.
Michael Nyantichi, General Secretary of the Public Utilities Workers Union, contends that over the past few years, the ECG has made efforts to enhance its revenue collection.
ECG puts in a lot of effort. Gridco and VRE, some key customers of ECG, are being poached.
Andrew Ejapomesa disclosed that the government is in talks with some private players to enhance revenue.
And these are conversations that we're having in respect of the privatization or some private sector participation in the billing and collection. Discussions are far advanced.
However, many of the panelists expressed opposition to the full privatization.
I don't agree because I feel we are capable.
It's not that simple.
In the energy space, we shouldn't run it like an ambulance.
Well, in a related development, the Institution of Engineering and Technology Ghana says Michael Riafi, the Ashanti East General Manager of the Electricity Company of Ghana, caused no ethical violation in a recent disconnection exercise he carried out in his operational area. The ECG manager was arrested for allegedly causing public unrest after disconnecting the Kumasi Technical University. Yes, President of the Institute, Henry Kujo Boateng.
The arrest of Ashanti East General Manager of the Electricity Company of Ghana, Engineer Michael Wiafe, after a disconnection of power supply to the Kumasi Technical University, is beginning to draw more backlash from professional bodies. The members of the senior and junior staff unions of the Electricity Company of Ghana, together with their parent body, the Public Utility Workers Union, are demanding an apology from the Ashanti Regional Minister, Simon Osei Mensa, who they accuse of masterminding his arrest. The latest to join the condemnation is the Institution of Engineering and Technology, Ghana, which says it considers such developments as an attack on the engineering profession. Henry Kojo Boateng is president of the institute.
You know, the engineer did not violate any ethics. He did not. You know, it's a public institution, and the board of ECG take decisions for the directorate or the management to implement.
Blessed Suga with that report. Away from energy, Railway Minister John Peter Mewu insists that the train incident on the Tema Impakadan Railway was due to the Hyundai truck driver's recklessness, as all necessary safety measures had been implemented prior to the trial run. Mr. Mewu said the distance between the truck abandoned on the rail at the time couldn't afford the train driver enough time to apply the brakes. Here's my interaction with him earlier.
You know, we have this braking system that will enable the train to stop. But there's normally a distance, understand, a minimum of 1 kilometer. But because of the curve, they couldn't get that distance. The driver tried to apply the brake, but it could not stop and ran straight into this vehicle.
This was a test drive, to be clear.
Precisely.
So what measures went into ensuring that the necessary...
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Procedures were put in place before this test was done.
All procedures, you know, were put in place, and they were strict. The eyes were dotted, the T's were crossed. The company in question have tested 300 trains this year. Ours is a 300 now. No single accident had occurred. What was important for them to do is to make sure that the line is clear. They do the initial check, which I stated earlier, by putting the maintenance vehicle, you know, 30 minutes ahead of the train. That was done and give an indication that the line was free. Only for some unscrupulous person to drive and park his vehicle there. So I don't want to read any ill motive, but it's very, very uncalled for, and the police are in charge of the investigation with other government agencies.
You said there were no injuries recorded.
No injury. The train itself is in a good condition, except the fenders. But assessment is ongoing now to determine the extent of the damage. Yeah.
And aside this incident, when exactly are we going to have these trains on the road for people to use?
We're expecting this train to be commissioned by His Excellency, you know, by the close of, you know, May, around May or, you know, end of May, around that area time. Unfortunately, with this incident, we will have to maybe some 2-3 weeks, you know, because we need to order some of this part. What is important is that the transfer of ownership has not been effected. The train still belongs to the manufacturer. It's also important to know that the train has been insured, and so PESA, who are the manufacturers and the test conducted, to approach the insurance company for the necessary arrangement.
And also, the picture on your Facebook, just to elaborate and clarify the situation, what exactly was it?
In fact, I haven't even seen the picture myself, so maybe I have to get to my Facebook pool. I think somebody managed that Facebook. I've not seen it. But the picture I saw on the social media was a Photoshop of, you know, a vehicle they put across the line. You can see that is not even the point. That's not kilometer 76.
And that was my interaction with Railway Minister Peter Amewu. Meanwhile, the police has arrested the truck driver who allegedly abandoned it on the Impakadan Railway. My colleague Michael Ashale has details of that statement and shares it with that. Michael, what does it say?
Well, it says that the Ghana Police Service has arrested the driver of the Hyundai truck with registration number GS9018-24, allegedly causing an accident involving the DMU train on the Tema-Impakadan railway line on Thursday. Now, police initial investigations has established that the suspected driver left the said vehicle unattended on the railway line, leading to the collision with the train. The police investigation continues into this situation.
Thank you, Michael Ashale. Now, government is assuring transparency and greater diligence as it opens the way for the private sector to take over the Saglemi housing project. The project has been entangled in all allegations of corruption, with the former Works and Housing Minister Collins Dauda standing trial. Already, over $200 million has been spent on it, but at various stages of completion. I've had some fittings, including burglar-proof materials, plumbing works, metal coverings on culverts, among others, at the site either vandalized or stolen. Works and Housing Minister Kojo Oponkruma tells my colleague Elton Brobe, government has no intention of spending extra money on the project. The reason? The private sector is being courted to come in.
The dynamics have not necessarily changed. It's okay. A source of funding that is changing now. And our objective is to ensure that we're able to finish this and make it available to them. Because this is also to develop a settlement on its own.
Right.
So there are questions about where is the school, where is the hospital, where is the commercial center. So some innovation in how you want to deal with it. Community and social responsibility, technical and managerial ability, as well as ethical business practices. They all come together as part of the eligibility criteria of who qualifies to put in a bid, local and or international.
And then when the application is done, what will be the next step in terms of selecting the most suitable for the job? I'm asking because of concerns that have been raised already by your opponents in the NDC, who say this is another attempt to allow government cronies to benefit from this project.
Well, I think the first thing that they have done is to express a worry or a fear. And we live in a democracy. It's okay to express a fear that you have. What we have done is also to publish a transparency policy associated with the entire transaction. And the transparency policy talks about all the disclosures of information we are going to make available. Mm-hmm. It talks about the fact that we have an open and competitive bidding process. For example, nobody's going to get an opportunity to put in a bid before the other. All the bids will be received on the same day, one day to receive all the bids.
Right.
And then at the end of that day, at that 5 p.m. close, all the bids will be opened transparently. So you have clarity on what everybody has brought to the table.
Well, we'll stay a while longer with the Works and Housing Ministry because we're almost entering the rainy season and flooding is going to certainly lead the headlines. But government says the country is too late in fixing the problem. Here's Sector Minister again, Kojopo Nkrumah.
I'm sorry to break your heart, but we're already behind schedule on the flood control program because of resource constraints that we have had. I have inherited a flood control program that is behind schedule. Mm-hmm. As I've told you, even what we are doing is just about 2% of what we should be doing in the Greater Accra region.
The last time we checked, the amount of money involved runs into billions of cedis.
It's $200 million. So yes, if you do the conversion, it'll run into billions. It's a $200 million project funded by the World Bank. That's a Garrett project. Mm. But what has actually been released or spent is not up to $200 million. But the implementation has been slow for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. I think just last week I met the contractors and the coordinator, Dr. Ohene, to urge them to quicken the pace of work with what they are doing now. I mean, if you go to the Kanisi areas, for example, all the work that needs to be done there is not even been done yet.
Yes.
And so until it is done, and to do that, we have to do the engagement with the people, pay compensation to project-affected people, secure the land lots that we need. We have to do detention ponds that will arrest water coming from the hilly areas of the Greater Accra region. So there's a lot of work to be done.
And you heard there the Works and Housing Minister Kojopo Nkrumah and an interaction with our colleague Elton Brobe. You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break. We have sports. And then when we return, residents of Nungwa excited about the release of Nayomo Ayomode from protective custody, saying their customs and traditions must be respected at all times. We'll take you there live. Please stay.
Preparing for a crucial encounter against league leader Samatex this Sunday. Now, a defeat in the upcoming match could send Kotoko into the relegation zone, a situation head coach Prosper Nate Ogum is keen to avoid.
In terms of the physicality of the game, the psychology of the game, the tactics of the game, no, yeah, prepare him. He say, Kwasiada, we can match them boot for boot. They have individual good players. We are looking at all these individual players and make sure that we design the right tactics or tactical approach for the game. We are Kumasi Asante Kotoko, and we can pull a surprise any day. The confidence levels of the players, say, you know, it was raw, and I believe that say this our confidence, you know, ekum on Sunday. Mejidi say we can get the needed results.
So we'll delve deeper into the woes of Asante Kotoko on game plan at 1:15 p.m. And surprisingly, you look at the Ghana Premier League table,
okay.
It's not Kotoko who are on top, it's not Hearts of Oak, it's not Midiama.
Where are they?
It is Samatex, well, they are at the bottom or below the top 10. But it's Samatex, surprisingly, who are sitting at the top of the table, and they are 5 points clear with 8 games to go. More on game plan at 1:15.
Certainly, we'll make a date. Now, more teacher unions are joining the fight for the Ministry of Finance to release Tier 2 pensions and other statutory contributions deducted from the monthly salaries of teachers across the country. The National Association of Graduate Teachers, NAGRA, 24 hours ago issued a week's ultimatum to government saying the Ministry of Finance for years has failed to disburse these funds to the rightful trustees. Listen to President of NAGRA, Angel Kabonu, and Mark Dinchira Karanche, Secretary General of TEWU, addressed separate news conferences in demand for the funds.
The last time government paid any money into the Tier 2 pension scheme was in June 2023. There is evidence that every month the monies are actually deducted. The question is, when the monies are so deducted, where are they transferred to? The way things are going, it is beginning to generate a large amount of disquiet at the labor front. And labor organizations like NAGRAT can no longer stay quiet to allow these financial malfeasance to continue.
Meanwhile, Labour consultant Austin Gamme is raising doubts about government's readiness to pay up the funds as he urges the teacher unions to get back to the negotiation table.
The possibility of a number of their members going on retirement this year is assured. And when that happens and they do not have access to monies that accrues to them, obviously what it is that they will be the losers. And so I think that is the anger from which they are coming from. It's desperation now. And if they don't do it, nobody would do it for them. This is Africa, and Ghana is part of it.
Well, let's head to Nunga now, as some residents say they are excited about the release of Na Yomo Ayomode from protective state custody, as they say their customs and traditions must be respected at all times. Scores of them poured onto the streets of Nunga yesterday to celebrate the release of the 15-year-old girl who was widely reported to have been married off to a 63-year-old traditional priest. Maxwell Agbagba is there for us and joins me on the line. Maxwell, what can you report?
Well, right in front of the temple of the Bobulomo, it's very busy here with a lot of the traditional leaders walking into the temple, the compound of the temple, and then stepping out. But all of them are tight-lipped. They are not ready to speak to the media. They don't want to say anything. They tell us that later today or tomorrow, they'll be addressing the press to respond to all the issues in the public domain. But I'm told that it was very busy throughout the night for them. And also earlier this morning, they tell me that at dawn, they performed some purification rites to welcome Na Yomo Ayomode. So it's really busy here, but the residents and the traditional authorities here are not willing to speak to the media. They tell me that they are not happy with the reportage. They say that they feel their culture and their tradition has been misrepresented, so they are not willing to speak to the media. But it's very busy here at the temple of the Bobulomo.
But Maxwell, have you set eyes on this teenager we talk about?
No, we've not set eyes on her. We're told that she does not reside at the Bobulomo's temple. She lives at another place. We're just about 500 meters away from where we are. We're told that she's with the family, and then later she'll be brought to the temple. But that information that we got earlier was discounted by another elder who told us that would not happen. But it's likely that on Sunday they'll be performing some rites and they'll be inviting the press to come and witness it.
Grateful, Maxwell Agbagba there at Nungwa, giving us the latest on Na Yomo.